World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, you caught me daydreaming there a little bit, kind of pondering, wiping some stuff off of my glasses and kind of pondering. Is anything real? Is anything real? Are we living in a series of delusions? I don't know why my glasses got fogged up. Huh? Is anything
the Matrix.
Real? Is anything real? No, the Matrix, you know? Again, I got to go back and watch that movie, but I never really watched it. I sit here, I share with you guys often, I'm 68, going on 69. And I was reading something this morning. You know, our lives are just kind of an illusion, are they? You guys, do you remember your life back, us old folks? You really remember when you were 30? You remember when you were 35? You have a memory of it. You go back and you look at pictures and you say, oh, yeah, I remember that. I remember when we went there. Yeah, I remember when we did that. Yeah, I remember that. Really? Was that really something? Is it a ball of confusion, ball of illusion? What's going on? I asked Spencer, remember the last couple of days, I've been warning you guys to listen. Hey, if you're watching on YouTube, stop watching on YouTube. Stop watching on YouTube. So Jared calls me this morning, says, Coach, no YouTube. So what? No YouTube, Coach. So I said, Spencer, I can't be right. Type in coachdave.tv, which I've had for about 15 years. And it says, the account has been terminated for violating YouTube's community guidelines. Thousands of videos, thousands of different things that we've produced, gone. Isn't that unbelievable? That's what they call the cancel culture right there in front of you, isn't it? Here's the good news. Everything we produce, thanks to Jared and a lot of hard work from Gary. Man, a lot of hard work from Gary. We've got it all. We captured every one of our videos. We have it. Now, listen, if you're out there, if you got your own little YouTube channel, you're trying to build something up. If you don't own your content, folks, you don't own it. YouTube just made CoachDave.tv disappear forever. It's gone. Every video we ever put there, gone. Just like when I married my wife 41 years ago, I remember walking the aisle, I think I did. Remember down there saying I do, and she said I wish I didn't, but we did. And I think we did that. I don't know if I could prove it. I could pull out some paper that somebody signed. If I dug real deep, I could find some pictures, but kind of what they're doing all around us, aren't they? Changing history. Changing science. There's an enemy that's at work, folks, and he's working in something that we don't understand as much as I'm going to always remember this about you, Betty Perkins. I'm always going to remember this about you because you clarified something in my mind that you confirmed something for me. That the drawl of this show is the fact that when truth begins to be revealed to you, the average, clear-thinking Christian person wants more of it. They want more of it because it bears witness with their spirit. And Betty, when you stood up there and you said, how long have you been in church, Betty? How long have you been in church?
Good morning. I have been in church for 63 years. So now you know how old I am. But I've gotten more church from you in the last 5 months when I started than my whole life.
Think about that, right? And I bet you Betty wouldn't be the only one that would say that, right? That what draws you here is, in fact, that attraction to truth. Not truth because I'm saying it, not because truth on this show, but because we cut open the meat, we throw it on the table, and we look at it, and then you spend the rest of your day trying to prove it wrong. No, you don't have to give me the thumbs up. I know that, right? So that can't be right. That can't be right. And you go do some research, and you can't find the confirmation of that things that they always told you in your church. You can't find it. We were talking yesterday about essential and non-essential truths. I told Michelle, my wife, last night before I went to bed, that might be the most profound show we've ever done yesterday. We've done a lot of them. That one was pretty profound. When we zeroed down and realized that most of American Christianity can't advance to the things that are important because we're all arguing and fighting over the non-essentials, things that don't matter. I'm right about this and you're wrong about that. And since I'm right about this and you're wrong about that, I'm going to go start my own church. Because we all, and I'm not going to go over there because you don't agree with me on this non-essential. So therefore, that's the wiles of the devil. That's the wiles of the devil, right? It is. But see, it's also awfully though, it's very, very hard because I got some issues I want to talk about with you, speak with you about today of the delusion. There's a strong, strong, strong spirit of delusion all over all of us. I'm gonna start right here if I can. Real quick. I got so much I want to talk about today. The strong, strong spirit of delusion. And I was thinking, I watched the video that we made at the Sodomite Pride Parade. Put those words together. Folks, put those words together. And it's what I said to the policeman. See, who was in my car that when we were over there? Trump wasn't here yet. So I was driving. Michelle was in the back seat. Bobby Lee was riding shotgun. I think there were three and four. We stopped as we were leaving Knuckleheads the other day, stopped and talked to that police officer. We showed the video yesterday. And he said something about vile. What we had done was vile. Disgusting. Us being there talking about sodomy. And I said to him, here's what sodomy is. And when I explained to him what, does anybody need me to explain that again? Does anybody out there need me to explain sodomy? Can you close your eyes and imagine what that is? And to think that anybody would think that is something to be proud of. Raise your hand if you think that's something to be proud of. No? Yet we let them be proud of it. They don't even call it what it is. And this isn't about homosexuality. This isn't about sodomy. It's about how easily we are distracted and brainwashed. Now, I'm going to stay with me. Some of us have had children. I remember when our first child was born, Zach is 38 years old, and that goes back. They weren't able back then to tell you what kind of baby it was going to be, whether it was a boy or a girl. You guys remember that? You old folks remember that? When you didn't know what the baby was going to be until the baby pops out? Right? So I'm in there watching Michelle go through labor and thinking, man, that must hurt. Watch that old thing take place. And Dr. Nussbaum comes into the room and starts doing whatever it is, and I'm standing up behind Michelle, and she's birthing our first child, which we don't know what it is. And the little poom pops out, and Dr. Fairchild holds up little Zach and says, hey, Coach, it's a little man. A little man. Stop. Just stop right there a second. Today, we're not even allowed to say what our eyes show us. The very obvious science that when little Zach was born, he had male genitalia. We didn't need any more research than that. The doc didn't say, hey, it looks like a little boy here, but we don't know. And I've been reading some stuff this morning on transgenderism. And see, they've twisted words on us again. And they say, are you ready, Rachel, that your sex was assigned to you at birth? In other words, a penis and a vagina are irrelevant. Because we don't know what that baby is till he gets older and tells us. And folks, listen to me. Normal, clear-thinking people are embracing that philosophy. It's unbelievable, is it not? It is unbelievable. Now, do you think that can happen through natural means? You couldn't just do brainwashing. And see, that's why they hate us so much when we went to the shame parade. I can say that now because Facebook can't ban me anymore. I've been set free. When we went to the shame parade, because there are people there who have been convinced that you don't know if you're a boy or a girl till you make the decision when you're 6 or 7. People have actually, folks, after how many years of recorded history? Somebody, how many years of recorded history has it been? Huh? And only in the last 20 years, not even that, only in the last 10 years has the entire world been convinced that you don't know whether it's a boy or a girl till they grow up and tell you what it is. That's supernatural. Hey, friends, did you hear me? That is supernatural. That delusion, that confusion is supernatural.
Amen.
Amen, Coach. Amen.
And for whatever reason, our churches haven't caught up with it yet. Our churches are embracing voodoo science. That's a good thumb up. Good thumb up. Our churches are embracing make-believe, fake, voodoo science, which is, by the way, psychology. Hang with me. I'm not trying to bore you today. It's been on me. I got to get it off. So I want you to see this. It's where we are. Put up the Newsmax article for me, Spence, if you would. Oh, I got to talk about that. Folks, yesterday, the Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court. Wait a minute. Does that have Clarence Thomas on it? Yeah. Does that have Sam Alito on there? Yeah, yeah. Does that have John Roberts? Conservatism? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, well, we got some new conservatives too, don't we? We got Amy Coney Barrett. We got Gorsuch. We got Kavanaugh. And the lower court ruled that this guy on the screen, who is a woman, wants to go into the girls' locker room to dress. And the lower court ruled that he can go in. I'm confused because I don't know what he is. This is a woman acting like a boy. And so the lower court said that he or she, this person who is a female, can go shower with the boys. I think I got it right. And the Supreme Court, with thank goodness we fought for those conservative justices yesterday. The conservative justices, yesterday on the Supreme Court, they couldn't garner enough votes to hear the case. So the courts let stand this sick person's right to cross-dress and shower with the people of the opposite. Am I confusing you? Because I'm kind of confused, right? And so our courts conserve. Folks, they only needed four people just to even hear the case. They couldn't get four judges to hear the case. So the courts said, this guy, this woman who's cross-dressing, even though he doesn't have a penis, can go shower with the people who do have a penis. If I'm understanding this right. And we think it's normal. How does that possibly happen without some strong delusion? Bear with me a second. Spencer, click on the next one. It says gender dysphoria. Gender dysphoria. By the way, I want you to look at this website that's up on the screen. This is not a Christian website. This is a website called Creation Evolution Headlines. And it says gender dysphoria, December 2nd, 2019. That's only 18 months ago. It's pretty recent. Gender dysphoria is not biological. What? Oh, yeah. They've done a research. And they couldn't find any science anywhere that say you were born that way. You with me, folks? And yesterday, the Supreme Court agreed with voodoo science. Even though there is no science, they agreed with the voodoo science. Probably on stare decisis, right? Previously decided cases. Agree with that? Scroll on down a little bit. I'm going to get off this subject in a minute because I'm going to show you. Hey, folks, listen. I'm telling you, there is a spirit, a veil of delusion over America right now. People believing things that cannot possibly be true. Friends, listen to me. Bruce Jenner cannot possibly ever be a woman. Can't ever be one. Can't be. And people go to Granville, Ohio, and they march in a parade. And we are the bad guys because we simply stand up and say, science says male, female, reproduction, plumbing, it fits. And we say that what you are doing is deviant, unnatural, and we're the bad folks. Now, wait a minute. Why are we the bad folks? Because that cop yesterday, Saturday, whatever day that was, what was that cop telling us, friends? Be nice. Be not. There's the gospel. There is the gospel today. However, it's a one-way gospel. They don't have to be nice to you. People say, why do you hate homosexuals? Well, I say, well, first of all, I don't hate them, but I was born that way. I was born this way. Actually, I was born again this way. And if we don't understand that the devil, his dominion friends, demonic dominion friends, are doing everything they can, you better hear me.
Amen.
To criminalize your right to say what we all see. Boys are boys and girls are girls. And never the two shall meet. Twain, what, that, folks, there is, right here it is, right up on the screen. A new theory of gender dysphoria argues the symptoms of the condition are due to changes in network activity rather than incorrect brain sex. Gender dysphoria is a straight state of extreme distress caused by the feeling that a person's true gender does not match the gender. Look at this. Assigned at birth. Who was assigned a gender at birth? Anybody assigned a gender at birth? And who did that? See, it's the word masters. It's the demonic, deceptive word masters at work. And what is the problem? We don't get it. And there's not a church leader, not one in 500, that can stand in the pulpit and explain these issues to the people so that the people can more clearly understand what's going on. Instead, they stand in the pulpit and tell you to do what? You have to love these people, right? And as a result, look what's going on around us. I got more to throw out there. In fact, I didn't mean to get on that so heavy to begin with. Bruce Jenner, hey friends, Bruce Jenner's a man. He'll always be a man. He will always be a man. How can the Supreme Court agree with such voodoo science? Now, hang on. One more thing real quick. No, not one more thing, but another thing quickly. Pull up that Facebook thing there, Spence. Yeah. Pastor Daryl Scott, this is 2 minutes. This is 2 minutes. Because the Bible says, come out from among them, be separate, and touch not the unclean thing. Oh, I know that's a non-essential doctrine. I understand that. But that's a guideline by which we're supposed to live. Right? And friends, friendship. Larry, maybe you can help me with this. Friendship with the world is enmity with God or something like that, isn't it? So when we begin to accept the precepts and statutes and of the world, we are enmity with the Lord. Enmity. Enemy. We're an enemy of the world. We've been told that all along. And yet we cower in fear for what the world is going to say about our defense of truth. I'm trying to do this calmly. So Pastor Daryl Scott comes on and gives a 2 minute, 19 second, pretty clear summation of what's going on. Go ahead and play that.
Believe God and have faith that God will back them up if the stance that they take is unpopular to the masses, which the church's stance is usually unpopular to the unchurched masses. You know, there are a number of them that are afraid, literally afraid. I know most of the preachers in America anyway, and a lot of them will not touch some of those hot button topics. They will not touch homosexuality, lesbianism. They will not touch a lot of the things that are, they won't touch abortion. They don't want to take a stand on that. Because they're afraid of, once again, being canceled or being targeted for what they consider to be persecution and oppression. I'll give an example. You know, we've already saw a miniature repression of the churches. During the COVID virus, a lot of churches were forced to utilize online platforms in order to broadcast their services, Facebook in particular. And what the churches would do, mine included, we would have each of our members host watch parties to expand our audience so that you would have an audience and it would replicate that. And when each member would not only log on to see what we were doing, but they would also replicate it by hosting watch parties. And then Facebook eliminated that feature. They took away that watch party feature, and it restricted the audiences that a lot of churches have because they said these guys are getting too much coverage for their messages, and they didn't figure out a way to monetize that. And so we were suppressed even then in that way. But once again, the church is going to have to be bold. They're going to have to stand up, stand forth, and speak out on outside of the pulpit or outside of the confines of the four walls, the same thing that they speak inside of the confines of the four walls. And they can't tailor their message to the point that society changes the message when the message is intended to change society. Yes. And that's what's going on right now.
Boom! The things
that were at one time taboo in the church has now become acceptable. And then the church is trying to figure out how to bring these practices into the gospel of Jesus Christ when there really is no way to do it. And so they're watering down the gospel and making it inclusive of things that the gospel is inclusive and exclusive at the same time. And so they're trying to make it totally inclusive of everything and not exclusive of anything.
So Daryl Scott's telling us that the problem is the church is trying to be accepted by the world. That's the easiest way to say it, isn't it? The church wants to be accepted by the world. And by its very structure and by its job to contend earnestly for the truth, you're in conflict with the world. We're in conflict with the world. Yet for some reason, we crave the acceptance of the world. Now, friends, I have been lambasted, whatever word that word is again. Over what? Not showing the love of Jesus by going to the sodomite parade. It's amazing. By Christians. Strong, strong delusion. Let's get rolling here. Larry, come on in, then Joe Allen.
Yeah, I got two things. One is all you folks, or maybe it may not even be any of you on this call or listening to this show that fit this, but if you know somebody that fits this, kind of let them know. All you folks that are out there and you have churches and fellowships and things that believe in this friendship evangelism, I'm going to read that verse Coach was talking about. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? But that doesn't end the verse. Whosoever therefore will be or wants to be or would like to be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. One of you friendship evangelical churches have made yourselves the enemy of God, and I'm not saying that.
Where is that, Larry?
James 4:4.
James 4:4. Pull that up before Spence.
And the other thing I want to say is there's no historical record in the Bible of a godly nation staying a godly nation forever. Now, there is examples of Israel coming back to God for a season, then they stray off track again, and then they get put in captivity and go through their punishment and stuff again. But there is no such thing or record in the Bible of a permanent godly nation. And anyone that thinks the United States is going to become a permanent godly nation is living in La La Land.
Amen. Amen. So there it is on the screen. Thanks, Larry. Folks, how do you deal with this? How do we deal with this? Because remember, if we went back and showed you that clip, the cop in Granville was telling me, be nice. What was he telling me to do? To be friends with the world. Not the individuals, folks. We're not talking about the individuals. We're talking about the worldly way, the ways of the world. People are in the world. I'm friends with people in the world, but I'm not friendly and associative with those things that make them worldly. Because ye adulterers and adulterers, what's an adulteress? Someone who has a fealty, a loyalty, a marriage, if you will, to one person and fools around with somebody else. So James is saying here, by the way, James is the brother of Jesus, half-brother. How was Mary ever virgin? Somebody help me on that one. That's a whole other story. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that to try to get everybody to be the friend of the church is enmity with God? That you're fighting God when you do that? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the worldly ways is an enemy of God. Larry, you nailed that one, Larry. Because most churches, that's where they are. They want to be loved by the world. Approval of the world. Come on in, Joe, then Emma and Clay.
Coach, so many sad cases like what you just showed about that young lady. They want two things. They want acknowledgement and money. When they can get what the cases I've dealt with, they wanted acknowledgement. So when they got incarcerated in a fed system or the state, they wanted to go through their transgenderism because they can't afford it on the streets. So they'll get the government to pay for all of it. The last case I worked on was $1.5 million to go through the transgenderism, whatever you call it.
Right.
So there's two things, acknowledgement and money.
So, Joseph, we would agree with this, wouldn't it, folks? Wouldn't we all agree with this? That somebody who is, let me use their terms, a man trapped in a woman's body, we feel bad for them. We don't understand it. We feel bad for them. But why would all of society change all of its norms for those people who are suffering with that sickness? It's a mental sickness. It's a mental illness. Hey, you know what, friends? Sorry. Oh, they didn't hammer me with this one. Acceptance of pedophilia is just around the corner. You know that, don't you? They'll say we were born that way. I was born that way. I don't know why, but I just always have a great affection for little boys. I was born that way. I love Jesus. By the way, I'm a Christian. But I just want to dingle little boys. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made this way. Where does it end, friends? Where does it end? Emma, come on in, then Clay, then Silver.
Well, I just want to say that the kindest, most generous, nicest thing you can do is warn somebody that they are headed for hell and that they must give up their sin. That's the best thing you can do Amen. For anyone.
Amen. I have this picture, friends. I've used this several times when I spoke. So let me paint this picture for you, okay? Can you imagine if there is, in fact, a great white throne judgment? And we all stand before God and we give an account. Can you imagine, with the technology that we have today, this is almost possible. What if there's a great white throne judgment and the entire world is connected in like a Zoom meeting and they're all watching your trial? Everybody's watching it. And so they're all watching, and there I am, and I step in for my big moment in the white throne judgment, and the scrolls rolled. It says it, right? It says that it's written in the books. There's going to be evidence produced of what I did. Lord's going to lay it out. There ain't going to be no argument. The prosecuting attorney is going to lay out everything you did. Hey, coach, remember you're 25, you did this. Remember when you're 30, you did this. It's all going to be laid out there. And then they're going to turn into the Lamb's Book of Life, and they're going to, first they're going to say, guilty as charged. Everybody's watching. OJ trial. Coach, you're guilty as charged. What do you have to say? And as I'm getting ready to speak, my attorney steps forward and says, Your Honor, this man has been found guilty. But whatever fine that you lay on him, death, sir, the price has already been paid. Enter into the kingdom, right? This is a cheap grace kind of thing, but stay with me a second, right? So then here comes, after I'm doing, and they're hauling me off, and I'm dancing, man, arms in the air. I'm jumping like I just scored a touchdown. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Because everybody saw it. I was guilty. Guilty as charged. Just guilty as possibly could be. And Jesus steps forth and said, I paid his price. He's forgiven. Well, he's guilty. But his price has been paid. I've paid the debt. He can enter in. And I'm dancing down the sidewalk. And next comes up my coworker. My coworker goes through the same scenario. Same thing happens. All of his sins are laid out in front of him. The gavel comes down. The God says, guilty as charged. And then his attorney stands up. There's no case. And can you imagine that when the gavel comes down and the Lord says, enter ye into eternal destruction, his sentence is brought down. Can you imagine? I'm over in the corner doing my happy dance as they drag my buddy into hell. Can you imagine? He looks over at me and says, why didn't you warn me? Why didn't you tell me? I work beside you every stinking day. Why didn't you tell me? That's a nightmare for me sometimes. Because it's more real than we know. Come on in, Clay.
Yeah, two things, Coach. One is that officer, he was trying to tell you that you didn't know your place. You need to go into your little church building and lock yourself up behind closed doors.
That's right.
You speak to your people, and then when you come out and you vent inside that church, you keep your mouth shut.
That's right. You be nice. You be nice, because there's churches on every corner there in Granville where they teach people to be nice, not righteous. They don't teach people to be righteous. They teach them to be nice.
Yeah, the other thing is you're a leader regardless of whether or not you got a church building. And when we got good pastors like Dale Socia, he's a leader. He doesn't have to have his church building. He'll still be a leader. But think of how many pastors is out there that went to a job interview. They didn't start their own ministry. They didn't start their own church. And they're just hired to do this job. And then if they lose that church building, what kind of leader are they going to be, man? They're going to be stranded. They're not going to have many followers.
Well, no, no. Hey, Clay, I tell you this. I was talking to my wife the other day. I said, how do I retire from Pass Assault? How do I retire? Right? Nobody hired me. How do I retire? How can pastors possibly retire? Come on in, Silver.
Coach, that scripture that you brought up in James, one of the things that we really kind of miss today is that it says, ye adulterers and adulteresses.
Mm.
So in our view, it don't really matter who you think you are or what you think you are.
Amen, brother. You so caught either way.
The friendship of the world is enmity with God.
Amen.
Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God.
Amen, Joe.
My prayer is to be able to see the true enemies of God.
Mm.
Boy, so they're out there to take aim at.
And we get, hey Joe, that's why the Bible says to have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather point it out. Point it out, brothers. Amen. You point it out. Come on in, Jeff, now then Mark.
Yes, yeah, they make a point. I do my research. I like to read a quick paragraph here. And it says here, the brain was not only mapping a different route or neural highway for neural messages, but also selecting a new destination for them, something previously thought impossible. Since then, neuroscientists have demonstrated many other examples of neuroplasticity, even showing how the brain can repurpose the surface of the cerebral cortex to make up for the damaged areas. It has even been applied to show that the criminal or deviant sexual fetishes are formed as a habit rather than acquired from birth, as the neuroscientist Carla Schultz summarized in her book.
Amen. Amen, Jeff. So listen, folks, it's programming, right? And by the way, some of it programming as a young person. We heard Betty, I don't mean to pick on you, Betty. Betty gave up her powerful testimony as a young girl, what happened to her. You don't think that shapes and forms a person's identity as they get older? Right? You don't think watching video, we don't know why, do we? We don't know why. I don't know why transgenderism exists, but I know this. It ain't of the Lord. I promise you that. It ain't of the Lord. There's something going on. What do you think, Mark?
Well, I think in the streets, the things we've learned here, that friar who spoke on how we should treat the vaccinated. So I realize that on the streets, who are the vaccinated? Well, they're the ones in the rainbow colors, aren't they, Coach?
Yes.
So, what he taught us is, how are we supposed to treat them as Christians? We're supposed to pity them. So there I am, pointing out the evil, returning the truth to them as they lie to me, but I'm supposed to pity them.
Amen.
So we pity people who are about ready to die. What are the sins? They're going to be like your coworker. Why didn't you tell me? We're supposed to pity them. We're supposed to tell them with a heart of sadness and sorrow. Can you imagine being on that mental wavelength?
No, man. I can't. No, I can't. See, I can't. And so evidently we don't understand salvation. We don't understand it. Or we'd be telling more people, wouldn't we? Huh? It'd be like, if I got a ticket, my buddy and I, let's say I've got six of us, and we got to go to the Super Bowl or go play golf at the world's greatest golf course. Take all these friends with me. I drive them out there in our beautiful van. And then when we get there and get out and get on the golf course, I'm the only guy who gets to play. They said, well, why don't we get to play? So, well, didn't you make a tee time? I thought you made your own tee time. No, I made the tee time. I get to play. You guys? Oh, well, sit on the bench. I'll be back here in 4 hours. I'm going to go out and play. That's salvation, isn't it? I got a tee time. Others don't have it. I got to tie something together. I see some of you want to get in there. I'll let you in there real quickly, John. Come on in. I got something else I got to show you. Golly, it's 2018. Golly, go ahead, John.
Yeah, I just want to say that, just like you say, the Spirit has talked to you or said something to you, and you have to be obedient and follow through with it. When I say that to people that I hear from God, they look at me like I got that third eye again. So, but I also have been in the past where a person's name has come to my mind as if I should go to them and speak to them about their salvation. I may or may not be obedient to that little voice. And then I find out that that person died. I feel so guilty that I have not followed through on that. And also that a lot of people want Jesus as Savior, but not Lord. The Lordship is what is a big difference.
Yeah, they don't even know what it means, John. They don't even know what it means.
Right.
Now listen, folks. I didn't mean to cut you off, John. I'm in this vein, and I want to get this thing out. See, so we don't understand. Lord, is that what you want me to say? We don't understand, as I've said to you a number of times, that people who don't have the Holy Spirit don't understand. And listen. If you go back and watch my video, the dialogue with the police officer, you won't hear me say a word about Jesus. You won't hear me say a word about the Bible. You won't hear, you folks, listen, when you evangelize, you must first crush the platform they stand on. They think they're telling the truth. You've got to destroy their platform. Not tell them about yours. They think you're nuts. That's why you're having the discussion. So if you would go back and watch that discussion back and forth with a police officer, I'm not mentioning Jesus. I'm not mentioning, I'm just saying, dude, hey, what about this? What about this? What about this? Things he believes. So that when he walks away, he's thinking about what he believes. Because, folks, he ain't interested in what I believe until he knows what he believes is wrong. And so the gospel done effectively is a mirror that reflects them back on themselves. They see their own hypocrisy. That's where it begins. And that's why I never start with, that's why I run. I didn't on Saturday, I don't think, but I run from people who immediately start telling everybody how much Jesus loves them. Because listen, they already know that. They've heard that so many times. Jesus loves you, brother. Yeah, and he hates you because you're out here being mean. Yeah, Jesus loves me, but he hates you because you're out here not being nice. Do you get it? Do you see the dichotomy here? And do you see how we fall into that trap? I can beat anybody at their game. Oh, they can't beat me at mine. I can kill them at their game. I'm not even going to introduce mine till I crush theirs. Oh, man. That's better than, you know. And hey, let me encourage you also on this. Some of you are getting it now. Some of you are winning the argument. Some of you are learning how to win the argument. All you have to do is reflect back to them. Let them hear what they just said and show them where that thinking leads. That's all you have to do. If they have any brain at all, if they're open to the gospel at all, they'll be convicted. Then you can give them the cure. Oh, I got a lot of people want to get in here. I got something else I got to show. Okay, listen, a couple more minutes. Go. Let's go, Michelle, Myra, Rich, and Roger. Go ahead, Michelle.
Morning, family. Coach, I don't agree that this comes from the devil or anything, because in 2 Thessalonians 2, God says, I will send them a great delusion because they don't have love of the truth, and then give them over to their lusts of their bodies. So I don't think this is as much the devil as what God is showing us. Look what's in people's hearts.
Well, sure, because why? They rejected the truth. That is the devil. They rejected the truth. So God says, okay, you want it? Here, good. Good luck to you. Come on in, Myra.
Good morning, Saints. How are you? In regard to what John said with the vaccinated, we do tell them the truth. However, they accuse you of being that's conspiracy and sure. Whatever else. So what the believer does, at least I do, is just pray for them that they can see the truth.
Yeah. I don't even do that. I just tell them and let the Holy Spirit work on them. It's not my job to get them saved. It's not my job to keep them from getting vaccinated. It's my job to tell them the truth. Come on in, Rich.
Yeah, back to what you and Larry were talking about in James 4:4. I pulled up the Strong's 34:28, and it says that, so believers who cultivate friendship with the world, thus breaking their spiritual union with Christ, are spiritual adulteresses, having been spiritually united to him as a wife would be to a husband, Romans 7:4. It would be, yeah. So that's what's going on.
Yeah, it's adultery, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. By the way, wait a minute, hang on, I got to say this. Guys, pick up your toes. That's what pornography is. Adultery against your wife. Go ahead, Roger. Is it Roger? Is the next guy in? Come on in. Whoever is.
If I'm next, I was just going to say quickly. I think the issue of the love gospel, if you look at the last 30, 40 years, that history and the results tells you it doesn't work. Church has never been weaker. Mm-hmm. Churches have never been more or less influential in the culture. And what we've had the last 30 years is the message of God loves you to everyone. And it is clear that message by itself has not worked.
It hasn't worked, Roger, because it's not the full gospel, the whole counsel of God. That's why it hasn't worked. It's just a piece of it, right? Yes, sir.
I'm working on a handout because Aroostook County is going to get its first big gay parade, homosexual parade, next month. And so one of the things I'm using that I just wrote down was the unfruitful recruit.
They do. They have to, Jack.
Yeah.
They can't reproduce. They have to recruit.
Proud to confuse, molest, and abuse your children. The unfruitful recruit.
Amen. So, folks, when you're at the gay pride parade or wherever you are, you just ask, really, do you think does any mother anywhere in the world, if they are, they're really sick. Mommy, do you want your son to come home and tell you he loves boys? Does any mother want that? Does any mother want their daughter to come home and say she loves other women? Does any mother want to hear that? Well, of course not. Why would you ever expose them to that? See, that's the wickedness of it. Those are that are trapped in, say, trapped in the homosexuality. Those that are practicing homosexuality, they're doing it by choice. Whether, for whatever reason, whether it's chemical, whether it's electronical, whether it's whatever reason, they've made the choice. But to let them recruit, to let them be able to take that poison, that's sort of like taking a vaccination, isn't it? It'd be sort of like taking a vaccination. Okay, hang on. I know you want in here, but I have a show that I got to get this to. So pull it up for me real quickly here. Delta variant. Now, I've been warning you, and others have been warning you, okay? This video, I asked Jared this morning to post it. Okay? Folks, this is 12 minutes, 49 seconds. We don't have time to watch it all. June 28th, that was yesterday, this video was made, and we're going to watch about 3 minutes of this thing, and I've been telling you there's another virus coming. Go ahead. Hang on. Hey, friends, those friends of yours that are taking the vaccination, do you know why they have a different flu virus? You know why they have a different flu vaccine every year? Because it mutates. So how long has COVID-19 supposedly been around? 2 years? So taking that COVID shot, is that for the new COVID-19 or is that for the old COVID-19? And if you got to go get a flu shot for last year's flu, which is what the flu shot is, it won't prevent you from getting the flu this year because it's a new flu. So we are already seeing what they're calling. Are you ready? The Delta variant. Just play it. Just 3 minutes. Let it play. I won't say a word. Go ahead.
The Delta variant. Delta variant of the coronavirus continues its global spread.
The big story at the moment is the Delta variant.
Should we fear the Delta variant?
Absolutely.
It's more easily transmittable, this Delta variant, potentially deadlier, and especially dangerous for young people.
Oh, they weren't getting the young people before. See, they weren't getting the young people before, were they?
Hospitalizations in states with low vaccination rates.
The more contagious Delta variant could bring new dangers.
A 2-week lockdown has been imposed in Sydney to contain an outbreak of the highly contagious COVID-19 Delta variant.
The highly contagious Delta variant is causing new concern.
Public health officials urge people who are not fully vaccinated to use caution because of a new potent strain known as the Delta variant.
Delta is the most transmissible of the variants identified so far.
Now that we have this mutation dubbed the Delta Plus, it's coming out of the Delta variant, I guess, how much more concerned should we be about widespread infections, a spike in the number of infections here in the U.S.?
As the Delta variant has a new mutation, this is called Delta Plus, which sounds fairly worrying.
On the screen, it says they want us to start
Israel
wearing masks again.
Reimpose mask mandates indoors just 10 days after lifting the measure. The country's coronavirus response chief said that they're seeing a doubling in case counts every few days.
A COVID setback for one of the most vaccinated countries on the planet. That's shaping up to be a warning for the rest of the world over the fast-spreading Delta variant. Israel set to reinstate its indoor mask mandate next week after the country's health ministry registered 148 new cases Wednesday, the highest daily increase since May. The increased infection is attributed to the spread of the Delta variant.
The World Health Organization is urging fully vaccinated people to continue wearing masks as the Delta variant spreads worldwide. This latest warning comes at a time where many countries, including the U.S., have ended mask mandates and most other pandemic restrictions.
I'm reiterating my call for every governor, mayor, and local leader to maintain and reinstate the mask mandate. Please, this is not politics. Reinstate the mandate if you let it down. And business should require masks as well. The failure to take this virus seriously, precisely what got us in this mess in the first place, risk more cases, more deaths.
Oh my God.
Okay, I don't have time to play the whole thing. I asked Jared to post it. Folks, this was made yesterday. This video was made yesterday. I don't even know what to say.
Need to get prepared, folks.
The axe is coming down.
Because they've already found out how weak we are, haven't they? They've already seen it. How weak we are. Hey, that's your homework. Watch the rest of this video. Jared will have it posted. Watch the rest of the video. Roger, did you want to come in? You just forget to take your hand down. Larry, one of you?
Yeah. I just want to piggyback on what Joe Silver said a while back about he just wants to know who the enemy is so he'll know who the enemy is. Well, you know, the reality is that we're told so many times in the scripture to love one another. And it never says in there, love the world. In fact, it kind of says the opposite. But we need to know who one another is. We need to know who is our brother and sister in Christ. And I'm going to put a link in the chat that the Lord had me do a kind of like a PowerPoint thing several years ago on how to identify or how a person can identify themselves who they are. And there's the link in the chat. Oh, and by the way, Mark said we should pity those that need the gospel and stuff. You know, the world, we should pity them. Absolutely. And pity does not equal love. Pity not the same. Does not equal love.
Yeah, we don't even know what love is. We don't even have an understanding of what that word means, right? So I got two more things I could get into, but I don't have time to get into them, folks. Listen, this is not going away. I'm not being a fear monger. We were told this, weren't we? That your enemies would be those of your own household. How many of you, by a show of hands, are fighting this battle within your own family? Huh?
Yep.
Boy, oh boy. What are they going to say? Are they just going to go in their drawer and pull out the mask that they used to wear and they put away for a week? Are they going to go put that mask on? Hey, they believe Bruce Jenner is a woman. Right? They believe God made them that way, right? Oh, my. Come on in, Ohio Brett and Betty. Go ahead.
Hey, as I'm coming into Lancaster, Ohio, I remember what Mr. T said on the A-Team. I pity the fool. I pity the fool that believes the lies. I pity the fool that believes the Delta variant. And I pity the fools in my family that don't follow the truth in Jesus.
Amen. All you can do is tell them. You can't convince them. Holy Spirit has to guide them into all truth. Come on in, Betty.
Yeah, it's really sad that my family in North Dakota, a lot of them will not let me come and visit them unless I sit 6 feet apart. I have the vaccination. I wear a mask and I can only stay 15 minutes.
Why would you even want to go?
I am not going. It'll be 2 or 3 years before I go home. They can sit up there without me.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't even want to. It's sad, isn't it?
Yes.
It's sad. It's sad, but the reality of it is, then that's not your family.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Hey, it's Steph. I want to say and make a comment. Yeah, we don't know what love is because right now we think that sex is love.
Yeah.
Love is not sex and sex is not love, people. Love is love and sex is sex.
Well, Coach Dave, you're my family. All these people in here are my family, and I will die for you guys before I will be my own family.
Yeah, amen.
Me too.
Amen,
me too.
Betty.
Amen, Betty. Hey,
I would die for him. I would try to die for anybody that greater love is no man than this. He laid down his life for his friends. I would try. My family are my friends. I would lay down my life for him. But you're my fellowship. I hang out with my family. You guys are my fellowship. Come on, Rochelle, quickly, and then Tracy.
I just wanted to say something about the mask again. The purpose of that mask, I even see it now that there's no mask mandates. People have learned not to make eye contact and learned not to talk to other people and learned to keep their distance. Even without the mask on, they've trained us.
They've learned to keep their mouths shut, haven't they, Rochelle? Yeah. That's the real conditioning that's going on. Keep your mouth shut. Tracy, come on in.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It's nice to be here again. just about this vaccine thing, I only have one person in my family, my liberal son, that did get the shot. But I have so many that are being threatened now with jobs and stuff like that. So, I mean, they're really working hard on people. So we just got to keep staying strong through all of this.
Get ready for the Delta variant. How long is it going to be before your pastor is doing Zoom services again? God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.